Now, the reason that we talk about being infectious, the reason that we talk about actually having a faith that you can share and spread, is because it's part of our vision as a church. So if you're not used to Metro, if you've not been before, or if you just started coming, then you need to know what we're about. We're not just here to be a kind of trendy church or church, I don't know, church you can bring your science museum to. What we're here for is actually a church that has a sense of purpose in what we're doing. And we have a vision, and that is simply this. We exist to help people find and follow Jesus. So we want people to find Jesus. That's what it means to be infectious. That all of us can play a part in helping others find Jesus. And if people are not interested, fine. But for most people, they've never had the Christian story explained to them or communicated to them in a way that makes sense, that they would want to engage with. And so we want to help people find Jesus, people that are asking questions. And when they find Jesus, we want them to be able to follow Jesus. And we want to mobilize those people to love one another. That's why we have groups midweek, so that we can do community, that we can be in each other's lives. And then finally, to serve the city. So infectious is really all about how do we help people find Jesus. But tonight is particularly about how do we get people as a body, as believers, as followers of Jesus, how do we serve our city? And so I thought it would be great if I could ask three different groups of my friends who are doing an amazing thing, setting a fantastic example, if they could come and explain to us how they do that. And so it's going to be a little bit of an interview. I'll interview them, I'll talk, and they're just going to tell us their story. So first group of people, could you give a huge round of applause, ladies and gentlemen, to Neil and Karen Dennison. Now, those of you that are eagle-eyed will recognise Neil and Karen, not only because they're here most weeks, the part of the gang, but also because a few weeks ago when we did our series Sex is Easy, but Commitment is Hard, you guys featured in the story. We had a little video of you, which is incredibly open, very vulnerable. I'm not going to go back there again because you now get to talk about the things that you do, your work. So it's a little bit less emotional, and it's a little bit, I guess, your chance to inspire. Tell us about your organization, Urban Pursuit. What is it? How did you start it? And what do you do?
Okay, so Urban Pursuit is something that Neil and I set up about 4 years ago. We've both had a history of working in secondary schools as a teacher and pastoral support. And both of us were dreaming about our future together and how we would impact teenagers in a different way, both becoming a little bit not sure whether working in a school was where we felt we would be long-term and daring to dream a little bit bigger. So through, you know, lots and lots of talking and dreaming, Urban Pursuit was born. Took a long time to come into being, but we're now 4 years in, and it's an alternative education provision.
Alternative education provision.
Yes. Okay. Do you want to know what that is?
What is that?
So, an alternative education provision is aimed at supporting young people. For us, it's teenagers who, for one reason or another, are struggling in mainstream education. So that could be because of issues they're having at home, because of a whole variety of things we can go into, but they need a bit of extra support. So that mainstream Monday to Friday, 9 till 3 is not working. And so we're providing a service alongside to get alongside some of the most vulnerable teenagers.
Okay. So it's alternative education. So do you sort of line them up in classrooms with pen and paper, test subjects? I mean, what do you do with these people that need help, extra help?
Yeah, so our particular provision is using a context of adrenaline sports and adventure activities, which we've got a passion for personally. And we basically take kids out of mainstream school for 1 day a week, 2 days a week. In some cases, children that have already been permanently excluded from schools. And we do personal and social development using the vehicle of adventure activities and adrenaline sports. So it could be anything from your traditional outdoor pursuits like canoeing and rock climbing through to more contemporary urban sports like parkour and free running and BMX and skateboarding, that sort of thing. So it's a great
amazing.
Fun job.
Sounds amazing. You get to do all that stuff and that's your job.
That's our job.
Parkour.
Mm. You wouldn't think it, would you, looking at us? But, well, maybe Karen. But.
I'm not going to say anything. I think it's cool. So, I mean, we can joke. It sounds great. It sounds amazing. But you're obviously working with kids that, like you say, some of them have been excluded. How is that? Is it a challenging thing? Is it something that requires a lot of patience and grace and energy? Or do you see children changing when they're with you?
It's definitely challenging. And you know, as much as on the surface it looks great doing all those sports, you know, it goes a bit deeper than that for sure. I mean, most of the young people that we're working with, it would be very easy for society to give up on. You know, they are difficult kids. They've been through a whole range of experiences at home, be that, you know, parents that have got issues with drugs, a lot of fatherlessness, a lot of poverty, and themselves would maybe be involved in crime, and just struggling with the chaos that's going on inside themselves to find that place of belonging. And so at Urban Pursuit, we want to provide that love and acceptance and a safe place for them to start to explore their identity, and start to motivate them and to help them to push, you know, to push forwards and to find the thing that is in there that maybe has become hidden over time.
Wow. And both of you, obviously, you have faith. Would you say that your faith has been a motivator to get involved in this? And are you able to, I mean, what's the line? Can you share your faith, or do you have to just downplay it, or does it ever come up?
There's no doubt that Urban Pursuit was born out of a place of chatting to God and giving our lives to God and saying, what do you want to do with it, God? And, you know, we gave up two very good jobs. I was on a mission to become a head teacher in secondary schools and was quite a long way down that journey. And it was a big sacrifice to give all that up, with a mortgage. And God was very definitely telling us this is what he wanted us to do when we set it up. We're not an explicitly Christian organisation, so we don't kind of share our faith with kids or evangelise to them directly. But behind the scenes, we are praying for them. Most of our staff are Christians. Mm. There's a definite sort of sense that it's a sort of stealth kingdom work, really.
What, as in a hidden agenda, or?
Yeah, no, just that we're just, you know, we're praying for these kids and we're trying to bring, I suppose we're trying to bring love, we're trying to show them the kingdom through loving them, basically.
Right.
But we can't really, you know, we didn't set ourselves up explicitly to be a Christian input, so we can't very well start preaching to kids when their schools are paying for them, and they obviously come from lots of different backgrounds culturally, so it wouldn't really be appropriate to be in your face, as it were.
But I go through phases when I'm more on this and not, but actually I often try and pray and ask God for like a word or something that will speak into them. And you know, it's amazing how much Bible you can quote without quoting it,
right.
You know, and sort of how much truth
I do that
you
all
can
the time.
Speak. And, you know, one of the things that I really want our kids to feel is that they have a hope and a future. That's a verse in Jeremiah. And, you know, that's for me, if these kids could grasp that actually there's hope in their hopeless situations and that they can go on to make something of themselves and have a future, that's something that, you know, is a motivator, but also something that I talk about with them quite a lot.
So, yeah, just one more thing to add on that. The hope eventually is that some of these kids will actually end up coming back and working with us. And that's quite a long-term journey. But there is an opportunity with our staff to share our faith. And we've got some non-Christians that work with us now. And there are things that crop up. So hopefully, eventually, a lot of these kids will come back and we can signpost them to church. And they'll see what it really was all about, why we were doing it. So, yeah.
Awesome. Keep the microphone because I want to ask you, how can we get involved? You know, to me, this stuff, it sounds noble, but it sounds terrifying and intimidating. And like regular people who are not able to relate to, you know, some of the kids from broken backgrounds like you do, how can we get involved? How can we support you? Are there opportunities? Because if we want to be serving our city as a group of people, are there ways in which we can do that with you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think first and foremost, you can pray for us, and you can speak to us about, you know, individual students. If you want to kind of adopt a student in a prayerful way, then we can give you a little card with the name of a kid on for you to pray for the term, something like that. It would be really, really good. And you can be praying for our organisation, just generally. The kids that we work with are very, very broken, and they need, you know, some really powerful intervention. And there's definitely a sense of a spiritual darkness that has kind of got into their families over generations. And, you know, prayer is so key. So that's the first thing I would say.
You carry on, John.
I'll carry on. All right.
You're doing good.
practically speaking, we're a growing organisation. We're currently at about 12 staff, some of whom are volunteers, but mostly paid people. We're experiencing a real sort of time of growth at the moment, and there are more and more opportunities to get involved. So we're particularly looking for a bit of admin support. If you've got any website design skills, that sort of thing, then come and chat to us, because we could do some updates to our website and our sort of presence online, on social media and stuff would be good. There may be volunteering opportunities for people who are interested in working with young people, to come along and actually do the day-to-day operational stuff with us. So yeah, there's lots of different things potentially that people could directly get involved with. And also giving financially, it's really key that we keep afloat, and lots of people in the church do support us monthly financially with £5 a month or £10 a month. So there's ways like that you can get involved as well if you haven't got time or skills.
Okay, one last question, Karen, I guess. Now, within Metro, you guys in recent weeks have been leading a group. You've led a group of people who've been doing Alpha, which is our course to help people explore the Christian faith. And we've got another Alpha course starting in about 3 weeks' time. But you took a bunch of people who have been coming to Metro, exploring faith. You did Alpha with them, and now you're meeting with them in your home. Tell us a little bit about the benefits of being in a group like that and why you got involved.
This was the question you were going to answer, wasn't it? it's been great doing Alpha, actually. It's been really good. I think that, you know, when being out and about with these kids, actually, you know, church is a really important part of, you know, being part of a church family, being part of a big church family like this, and actually being part of a smaller gathering as well. And you know, midweek church is a great place to share life. You know, people come from different places and different experiences. You've probably got more to share. I haven't thought about this one.
Well, yeah, I just think that midweek church is really important because you can, you know, get an opportunity to be, well, you can explore things in a much deeper way on a much more personal level. You can take some of the stuff that you might learn on an evening like this and actually really pull it apart, discuss it, thrash it out. But also, because you're in a smaller group, you have the opportunity to get to know people much better, and eventually you can be quite open and honest with where you're at, what your struggles are, what your hopes and dreams are. And being around other Christians in a small group setting is just really, really vital, I think, particularly if you're in a church like Woodlands, and the Woodlands group of churches, where it's actually a lot of people. You do need to kind of have that sort of small expression of church for yourself, I think, to really thrive.
Brilliant. Thanks ever so much. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you, Jill. Thank you for being with us. Jill's the chief executive of 125, which is an amazing thing. Could you tell us, you know, I said the broad brushstrokes, but tell us exactly what it is, what do you do, what's involved, and how did it all get started?
Okay, well, 125's been going for 21 years. It started, our founder, a lady called Val Jill, was working amongst the homeless in Bristol and saw this very great need, a need that wasn't being met. And Val decided to do something about it and set up 125 to support women who were trapped in street sex work or vulnerable to street sex work, to get the support they needed and to be given opportunities to exit that lifestyle.
Wow. And for yourself, how did you get involved? What was it that motivated you?
Well, it was 16 years ago, the year 2000. I was quite a new Christian.
And just thinking, the 16 years ago was the year 2000. That's just crazy. Where's the time go?
Yeah. And I went to our church home group, and I realised we had a guest speaker. I had no idea who she was. I had no idea what she was going to say. It turned out to be Val. And Val spoke about her heart for the women in Bristol who were trapped in sex work and the work she was doing. And I was quite a new Christian, but I think I've always had a serving heart. I've always wanted to serve. And listening to Val speak, as I heard her, I was really stirred into action. I just knew that I wanted to get out there and do something, get stuck in and live my faith.
So why was it women in the sex trade that caught your imagination? Because some people would say these are women that are making their own choices. It's up to them if they want to go and, you know, be involved in that. Then it's their prerogative. Why is there such a need?
Well, just like the speaker before, these are women who have had really damaged lives. They've struggled often from birth and childhood with abuse and poverty, and at a very early age have been coerced, led into addiction, and they haven't had the opportunities that I've had, that many of us in this room have had. And so they've made choices when they haven't really had choices in front of them. So they haven't been able to choose. You know, they've the options have been so limited, I could hardly call it a choice.
Right. I mean, one thing that strikes me, when you talk about helping women exit the sex trade, and each year you'll see somewhere in the region of 50 or so women out of, a couple hundred?
Each year we meet about 150 women on the streets.
Right.
We work with more like 250 women because we're supporting women who are trying to maintain their exit and are struggling with that. And we need to give them a lot of support to make sure that they can keep that going.
And in any given year, how many women are you helping exit the sex trade?
Oh, yeah, well, last year, 55. Wow. And it'll be higher than that this year. Yeah, it's going up year by year.
So you're seeing women coming out, but, you know, if someone is going to be a little bit cynical about it, you're seeing one woman leave the streets, another's taking their place. Does that ever get demotivating, or can you see a difference that's as a result of what you do?
I think we're seeing more leave than come in, so that's fantastic. Mm. But we're motivated every day by the stories, by the women we see, by their courage, their strength, their determination. They're beautiful women who it just motivates me when I walk into the drop-in or go out on outreach and I meet them, and I feel really privileged to be alongside them. And I could tell you so many stories, but we wouldn't have time tonight. Just a very, very brief one, which motivates me every day and always has since I started at 125, because I met her in my early days working at 125. I was running the drop-in centre. And she reminded me of my daughter. She was very young. She did actually, unlike many of our women, she did have a caring family, but she was so estranged from that family that she felt she could never have a relationship with them again. And she knew she'd hurt them deeply. But while she was in prison one time, I did actually make contact with her family. And I became great friends with her mother. And her mother would phone me regularly, and it just, in a way, I guess I was in the middle between her and her mother, passing messages both ways. Mm. And then one Christmas Eve, her family surprised me and they came up and met her from prison and they took her home, which is down south in the country. And they're still there now. Wow. She lives very close to her mother. She's married. She's got children.
Wow. And so that's a changed life.
Yeah. And that story still motivates me.
Yeah. So it's not just one person, it's entire families we're talking about that the impact reaches.
Yeah.
Okay, so we raise this money and we would like to do Give It Up again. So if you're thinking, wow, I would like to give up toilet paper or clothes or my phone or social media. That's what Tim did, actually. He did really good because he's like a boffin. He gave up social media. Sorry, can we say boffin? Sorry, I'm being told we can't say boffin. £13,500. Now, the aim with that money is that it would keep the minibus out for, you know, a good number of months. Mm. Now, Explain how that works, because it seems like a lot of money for one little bus. What's the significance? How does it operate?
Well, that one little bus is enormously important. Without our bus going out on the streets at night, we wouldn't have a 125, because that is where our contact starts with the women. It's where we maintain our contact. And when women appear for the first time or back out on the streets after many years, we pick them up again. And when they're cut off from all other services, we find them out there. We wouldn't exist without it. It's our lifeline. It's the lifeline to the women.
Mm. Awesome. Well, we're looking forward to November, I think it is this year, that we're going to repeat that. And we'd love to partner with you. But apart from a one-off few days where we're raising money, raising awareness, and celebrating what we raise, how can we get involved? I know that this is an area where it's not really easy for men to get involved so much, but what are the opportunities, what are the volunteering needs that you have?
Well, firstly, I'll just say these cards at the back by our banners, and Lou's here tonight with me, and she'll be able to help you fill these in, because they do, on this side, it tells you exactly how you can get involved. Lots of volunteering opportunities. And we do hold regular evenings throughout the year where you can come and hear more about them, right from frontline work to working in the office to fundraising to being out there cooking for us, all sorts of things. And you can just tick this box and Lou can tell you more and you can hear more. You can get involved in fundraising. You can just spread the word. And if you can't do any of those things, you can give, because just like the speaker before, you know, we can't do this sort of work without support from people and finance and your prayers and your hands. And whatever you can give, you know, if that's money, fundraising, volunteering, whatever, just come and tick the box on here.
Fantastic. And I, you know, on behalf of us, I want to say to you, Jill, that we as a little church, we really want to partner with you, and we love what you do. We think it's inspirational. Final question. Do you think that, because you heard this message as a new Christian and it motivated you to dedicate so much of your life, your time, your energy to helping people in poverty, in need, in the city, do you think that all Christians should do that, or is it just a few that should, you know, it's just for a special few that we should get involved in the needs of our city?
No, it's not a special few at all. I mean, not everyone can go and work there like I've been able to do, or even volunteer. But I think it's all of us together can, you know, we are all the solution together. When 125 first began, we had no grant funding or anything. So it was people like churches and individuals, people like all of you sat here, who kept us going, who got us up on our feet. Now we get a whole range of funding from lots of different places. But that money that you give, like to keep the van going, is what we call unrestricted. It's not a project. It's not money that has to go to a project. It's money we can direct where we know it's needed. Mm. And that's amazing. So we are all the solution together, because we need prayers, we need people spreading the word, we need people volunteering, we need people giving money. There's so many ways, and I think we are the solution. It's not just those who go in and work there day by day and volunteer on the front line. There's so many other things. And on our website, there's a little film called The Green Light District, and it's about turning the green light, the red lights green. And I would like to say we can all do that together. With people power in Bristol, we can turn the red lights green.
Amen. Fantastic. Let's give Jill a round of applause. Thanks. Stuart and I, we go back a long way, too long. But you have a day job as well as what you do with The Noise. You help to lead Ebenezer Church. Tell us a little bit about that and about the church that you're part of.
Yeah, I'm one of the church leaders up at Ebenezer Church in Horfield. Been there since 1992, I think. So, but I've been leading church there.
You were about 3 years old, right?
Yeah, about 3 years old. Yeah, I spray my hair every time. But it's been great to be part of a church in a local community on sort of the outskirts of Bristol, surrounded by some of the urban estates, but also involved in some different charities around the city, including The Noise, but also the food bank as well up in North Bristol. So, just a heart to see
how church engages in community a bit better.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that I admire about you so much, that you really put your faith in action in the community, whether that's the food banks, the church, money stuff, I mean, just a whole host of things. So how did the noise come to pass, and what exactly is it?
Okay, well, back in 2000, again, there was a group of us from Bristol went up to Manchester. Some Manchester fans here. And we went to a massive event, which was a bit like this, about the noise, and we caught a vision. And there's something about doing something, as I know these guys who have been up here already, of actually getting involved, so that you catch a vision. And we caught a vision and brought it back to Bristol and said, how do we see really impacting the urban estates, the most deprived estates in our city, and working alongside churches from all different backgrounds, which is a challenge at times, but really exciting to see actually how do we demonstrate our faith in action. We have a strap line that's called Showing God's Love in Practical Ways, and that's essentially what we're about, in demonstrating in lots of different ways.
So what practically takes place on a noise weekend?
Okay, so in a couple... Well, next weekend, that's scary, it's next weekend.
You should be, like, working right
now. Yeah, I should, yeah, yeah. So there would be a small team of us, Esther, who's not around this evening, my colleague is kind of project coordinates this, and myself and a small volunteer team. And we put together this weekend where we're running 9 family fun afternoons. People think
9
at once, yeah. Well, not at once, but across a weekend. People think that's mad, it doesn't make any financial sense at all, because why don't you just run one family fun afternoon, you know, in Queen Square or the Downs? But we want to value, each community has its own identity, so running 9 family fun afternoons with everything from bouncy castles to Britain's Got Talent, you know, South Mead's Got Talent, you know, it's quite funny, you see
South
people
Mead's got a lot of things,
it's got a lot of things, yeah. you get people who kind of do the rounds on the talent shows in these areas. It's quite funny to see. We do community projects. That's getting people working in people's gardens, working in local schools. All the projects are referred to us from people working in the communities. And they're kind of saying, actually, here's somebody who needs a little bit of extra help. So maybe it's people like what Urban Pursuit work with, who just on the edge, it's that first contact, that first door is opened. And it's great to be able to work alongside people. I remember a few years ago, we did a garden for a single parent. She had 4 kids. Her youngest was the age of 4. And the garden was a jungle. And it was like, well, how on earth are we going to do this? And a group of 10 people went in, cleared that garden in one day. And the lady at the end of the day said to us, that's the first time my 4-year-old child can play in the garden. Wow. And that, you know, that makes sense. When you see that, you don't see all the end results on these things. But there's something about impacting as one life at a time that's important, yeah.
Wow. Now, one thing you said just a minute ago struck me, that you're actually referred, people are referred to you, because it could be that we think that this is a bunch of Christian do-gooders going around, you know, doing things that the community doesn't really want. So how integrated is it with the real needs of the community and the agencies that are working there long term?
Yeah, we've had massive support, particularly from Bristol City Council and the police, who've really said, actually, this is really important. You know, seeing 900 to 1,000 volunteers mobilised is a big deal. And seeing people referring to us, so family support workers in schools, it might be social workers, referring us projects, is actually saying the church is doing something here. They're not just meeting in rooms, etc. They're there to serve our city, and that's made a huge impact. We want to work with charities across this city and saying, actually, if we can help with the massive numbers that we can do to start to open doors, then that's what we're about as well.
Fantastic. So I guess in some ways, of all the things that we've heard tonight, there's many opportunities to get involved, but this one is literally next week, and it's probably the most common denominator one. You can mow a lawn, you can pick up litter, you can help give out burgers at a fun day. How can we get involved? What are the options? And we've worked out some kind of special deal for Metro only, one night only.
So it's we want to encourage people to get involved, and that might be for one day. So it's next Saturday, Sunday afternoon, or Monday, and it's getting involved for a day or even a whole weekend if you're up for that. We ask people to pay a fiver. That's a special rate for here tonight.
It's normally more than that. It's a lot more than that.
Ish. And so it's just to actually say, that's investing into the vision. You get a blue T-shirt. If you see Josh on the... He's always wearing his blue T-shirt on the sound desk there. You get a blue T-shirt, but actually you're investing into a vision that is for the city. And it's signing up this evening. I think you'll probably explain how that can be done this evening. And getting involved with people across the churches, across the city, and every age. And it's a bit strange when you see a little five-year-old doing it. It's kind of cool. And then we see an 83-year-old. But actually, the majority of our volunteers are between the ages of 16 and 30.
Right, really? Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Okay, yeah, so we did a special deal. It's a 50% discount, and it's rolling just literally for today. We may hold it for 24 hours, if that's okay.
Yeah.
But it is for Metro. And the reason it's for Metro is because a lot of people that come along to Metro, this is the first time that you may have heard of the noise, and so we wanted to give a good chance to explain it, get Stuart over. So we've got this web address. If you go to the Woodlands Metro website, which is woodlandsmetro.church, and if you go /noise, in fact, you can literally right now, I'm giving you permission, get your phone out right now, and you can go. We're going to have a sign-up later at the end where if you want to take advantage of it, you can. It's literally for 24 hours, but I think really this evening, it's going to be £5, and that'll get you in. You can come on Saturday, you can come on Monday, you can do the Sunday if you want. It's totally up to you. What sort of things could people be involved in?
So people might be involved in a community project, might be involved on a family fun afternoon. We make sure that you're together. So if you sign up and you're under Woodlands Metro, you'll be with people that you've met here.
So this could be like a good fun bonding experience for us.
It's a great chance for getting to know each other as well. There's lots of spin-offs as well as actually doing the physical work. There's lots of ways of getting to know people. When you're digging a garden, you know, or picking up twigs, as Philip's got a professional degree in there.
Yeah, there's a picture of me on Facebook, and it looks like I'm just holding up some twigs and making a big, you know, big deal out of it. Hey, look at my twigs. Actually, in reality, I had been stuffing bags full of huge boulders
all day.
Yeah, and now that was just the kind of the little moppet when the photographer came and made a monkey out of me. But I was doing...
You were very good, yeah.
And what's worse is that in the background next to me is someone who's got a huge, huge amount of stuff, and he's got a broken arm as well. And it just made me look bad. I was embarrassed. But what do we get out of it? You know, is it just a sense of I feel good because I've done a nice thing, or is there more to it?
I think there is something that is unlocked when you do something and you activate your faith. There's something that is unlocked within you that is different for each person, and we kind of find that exciting because for some people it might be actually this is their journey into working in certain social justice fields within our city. It might be the first time you've ever been to a community like Southmead or Lockleaze or Easton, and actually seeing with your own eyes, apart from just driving through these communities, seeing with your own eyes some of the issues. It doesn't solve all the answers or anything like that, but it's saying this is the reality of what's happening in our city. And it's a significant time. There's a lot of political stuff going on at the moment. Mm. The wannabe mayors, the councillors, they're there for their photo shoots this weekend.
With their twigs.
Yeah, they're tweeting in galore. They're there for their photo shoots. It's quite funny. But actually, there's something for the church to say, actually, this is really going to make a difference. This is for one life at a time.
Fantastic. Okay, so just to recap, so you're really clear, in a moment we're going to have the band back, do some worship. But at the end, we've got plenty of time. We've deliberately made it so that no one has to rush off. We've got some tables, we've got some laptops, and you can sign up on the on that thing there and then. You go to a PayPal link, or you can pay with cash, just £5. Obviously, if you've got your phone, you can go straight in and go now. And really, we would love to have as many people as possible sign up to do the noise. My own personal vision is that Metro, pound for pound, that we punch above our weight. You know, that there may just be a few of us, and but the number of us that get involved, that say we want to make a difference. And like Stuart says, for some of us, this might be our sort of first foray into being a bit more active about our faith and a bit more engaged in the community in a very easy, doable and fun way that we get to do together. I'm going to be there. I'm there Saturday and I'm going to be there Monday. I'm here Sunday. But so I'd love to see as many of you come and join us as a team do this. It'd be absolutely fantastic. But Stuart, why don't you pray for us and just ask that God will help us have his heart of compassion for the communities that he loves.
Yeah, Father God, thank you, Lord, as tonight, Lord, as we started this evening, we ask for your presence here. And Lord, I pray for this community here, Lord. Lord, I pray for your presence that spills out into the streets. Lord, thank you for each person. Thank you for their uniqueness, for their giftings, for their skills. But I pray, God, for that presence that goes with them, that spills out into the streets to the most vulnerable in our city, to those who are hidden behind doors, to those who are struggling with life. Lord, for every person here, I pray that you would, as we worship through song now, Lord, that you would help us to, yeah, catch that vision to serve your city. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.